Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. الله أكبر الله.
والصلاة القائمة آتي محمد المصير والخضير ودار وجب ورافع بعث مقام ملهم وأدى. الحمد لله
الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. ألم تر إلا الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن أتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم رب الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. Sadaqallah al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. An expression of this is, have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given that one kingship? When Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death, he said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Another verse that we'd like to bring for this section of the Jumu'ah is A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qul inna rabbi yaqzifu bilhaq alamul ghuyub. Sadaqallahu al-azim. An expression of this. the 48th verse of the 34th surah of the Quran is, say to them, my Lord projects what you perceive with the truth. He knows fully all that lies beyond the range of human perception. Sadaqallah al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, today we continue with the subject, the science of truth and reality. And please pardon me, I want to make sure I set my little timer here. It would be good for both you and I. Yes. So the focus today is going to be on that term. Then the filughda arabiya spelled in Arabic, ya qaf, za, like dal, zal, za, fa, yaqzifu. And this yaqzifu is the form one, imperfect tense, which means it's present tense, and present is also imperfect, very rich meaning in just that grammatic expression. But one of its definitions, or some of its definitions, are to pelt, to cast, like throwing something, to inspire, to hurt, to do away with, to throw, to plunge, to charging someone with foul and evil actions. It means to shoot, and it also carries the meaning of dirt. You know, in the spirit of mudslinging. You know, somebody's mudslinging, right? So you're throwing dirt to besmirch someone or something, etc. Okay. And clarifying this is what the khutbah, inshallah, is all about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, yaqzifu bilhaq. Yaqzifu bilhaq. So whatever qadhafa, as the root term, is speaking to, Allah does that, but he does it with truth. He does it with truth. Okay? So that Allah does it with truth, let's walk back through some of just the simple indications of what the term means. To pelt. You know, to pelt means you're pelted with stones, right? One of the things that comes to mind immediately, of course, the stones that were thrown at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was chased out of Taif. And then, of course, we think also about the stoning of the Jamara, you know, the pelting the Jamara with stones. So think about it. It's like, here's a situation where someone is throwing stones, but they're throwing the stones at the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which the Prophet defined for Aisha, radiallahu anha, and for us historically as one of the worst days of his life, and the worst treatment that he's ever received from a people was from the people of At-Taif. They were pelting him, throwing stones at him. But then on Hajj, the throwing of stones and the pelting of the Jamara, you're doing the same thing, but you're doing it with a different object, and you're doing it, meaning towards a different object, and you're doing it and for a different purpose. But it's the same thing. It's the same physical act of a human being, but the motivations, the intentions, and the objects behind it was different. Also, what comes to mind is Surat Al-Fil. You know, Surat Al-Fil is the chapter entitled The Elephant. And I believe that's 105, chapter 105. Alam tara, say, have you not seen fa'alla rabbuka bi'ashab al-fil? Have you not seen what Allah did to the companions of the elephant? I won't go into the whole story, but it's the story of Abraha coming to tear down the Kaaba because he had built a sanctuary to become the new source or new point of pilgrimage, and he wanted to tear down the Kaaba, which had been that up to that time. And this, of course, but this historically is also the year of the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was coming with his elephants to tear down the Kaaba, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent birds pelting them with stones, and those stones, of course, rendered them disease affected, and it ended their siege. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pelted them using the birds to pelt. So this pelting is also in that, but one of the most important aspects of this conversation is to understand that the same thing done with a different object, and I don't mean a different object like, you know, mud versus stone versus whatever, wood or anything. I mean the difference of the purpose of the pelting, the purpose of it, and what it aims at. This is the bilhaq. The bilhaq is saying, yeah, the same thing can be done, but Allah does it with truth. Allah does it with truth. And the deeper, higher, profound aspect of it is, inshallah, we get to it, is related to the idea that everything that we see is something that has been cast by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire universe itself is a casting by Allah. He casts the entire universe. And what we see, and how does he do it? He does it bilhaq. So this is also telling us that no matter what you see, the haq for reality, for created reality, is what's behind it, not what you are seeing. But in the natural scheme of things, we talked about it, that the laws of nature are the garment of reality, according to Muhammad Iqbal, and it applies from this Quranic perspective. But in any case, so to cast. It also means to inspire. So many of the translations of this verse speaks about Allah inspires his servant with the truth. He inspires it, which is true, mashallah, alhamdulillah. He inspires him with the truth. But then, it also has in its references hurt. The same word, to hurt. So, and you've heard it, because it's a common experience of human beings. On some occasions, the truth hurts. The truth hurts. And it's like, that's often said when you thought things were one way, and then you come to find out that the truth was other than the way that you thought it was. And so what comes behind that is the truth hurts. The truth hurts. So this is also inside of the term yakhzifu. And then also Quran says, and this is one of the verses, inshallah, that we'll continue to address in the series going forward, is truth comes and hits falsehood in the head and knocks out its brain. Have you ever seen that? Mashallah, I know you haven't, because I know you don't watch those crazy videos and stuff like that. But we do see fictional movies and representation of somebody getting their brains knocked out. You think that hurts? You know, it's like it hurts when truth comes and knocks out. It hurts. And that goes with the idea of saying, oh, I thought this was the case. And then you find out that that's the case. Oh, the truth hurts. Right? So this is all yakhzifu. This is in there. And also to do away with, a part of its meaning, yakhzifu, a part of its meaning is also to do away with, to do away with. And this is what Allah does. Allah, he does away with that which is not consistent with his will, not consistent with his plan. He does away with them. He does away with them. But how does he do it? He does away with them with truth. Truth does away with those who oppose it. It does away with them. And this is what Allah does. He does away with, meaning I'm going to do away with you. How do you do it? Allah, I do it with the truth. Just think about it. How much power do you need? I mean, how much force do you need? Just think about whatever it is that you're addressing in yourself or in others and the like. The idea is you need the truth. You need the truth to do away with whatever effects are being brought by that which opposes you, presuming you are on the side of truth and God's will. I make that statement in that basis because there's some things that someone may be, quote, doing to you, but what they're doing to you is grounded in falsehood, false motivation, antagonisms to God's will, antagonism to God's plan, et cetera. And so because you are a part of that plan, because you are part of God's will, because you're in the army of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are things that those who are opposing that, opposing you thereby, then you need leverage, you need power, you need force to do away with them. Well, what do you need? You need the truth. You need the truth, even if it's but to bring you to peace and stability and what's called homeostasis. You know, I'm uncomfortable. I'm uneasy. I'm anxious. Whatever. And any other attributes that are not a sense of well-being. I'm disheartened. I'm disenchanted. I'm disappointed. Whatever that might be, what's going to correct that state? What's going to change that state? The truth. The truth. When you get the truth, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, truth is what makes the heart feel tranquil. Have you lost your tranquility for whatever reason? There's been a lot in the course of just this week that, depending on where you are, who you are, is. And what you're aimed at, what your goals are, there's been a lot to break your tranquility. Do you need your tranquility restored? Or do you need the truth about whatever is disturbing your tranquility? What is it that you're disturbed about? Okay? What is the truth about that? Comes up very shortly, so I'll just continue towards it. So to do away with. This is how Abraham, in the verse that we always open this series with, 2:258, he did away with Nimrod. He did away, who was the one that was opposing him? He did away with Nimrod with the truth. It's like, boom, he was done. He was astonished, and there was nothing that he could do. We call it brain lock. It's like he was shut down. His brains were knocked out by the truth that the prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam brought. From the order of nature. This is a big thing. From the order of nature. Because that's what's been cast bilhaq. That sun that rises from the east and sets in the west, that is a casting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the truth. And anything that seeks to oppose that or seeks to change that, not going to be successful because it is grounded in. And it is the reality, alhamdulillah. So to throw, to plunge, and then also one of the depictions, or rather one of the meanings, is to charge someone. This is the word itself, to charge anyone with something, to charge someone with something, and particularly to charge someone with foul or evil actions, right? So this becomes... Again, the idea of mudslinging, that's on the negative side of that statement. Because when the courts, for example, indict someone, let's take like impeachment, for example, right? If someone is impeached, that's an indictment of them on the matters that they are being indicted about, right? There are some people who indict, who charge someone with foul and evil actions, and it is not proper to charge those people with foul and evil actions. Like Miriam, alayhi salatu wasalam, Miriam, the mother of Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, she was charged with adultery, fornication, because of the fact that she's coming with a child, where's your husband? okay? Aisha radiallahu anha, she was also charged and indicted, if you will, and cast, aspersions were cast at her by the rumors that were spread about her, which were not true. So the point is that this yaqtifu, it has to do with charging someone, but it inclines towards, in this particular, it inclines towards charging an innocent person with something that they are not guilty of. That's the common semantic meaning, charging an innocent person who they're not guilty of what you're saying, but you're casting aspersions. You're charging them with things that is not true. The prophet is a madman. The prophet is a pedophile. The prophet is a poet. The prophet is a robber. The prophet is a mercenary person. All these things cast aspersions cast on the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of which he's innocent. Side the word, but Allah does charge people. Allah does charge individuals and nations with crimes, with foul and evil actions. But how does he do it? Bilhaq. It is the reality. I'm not, this charge against you is not a trumped up, not a trumped up charge. This charge is an actual, truthful charge. It's right that this be laid at your feet. It's right that you be indicted for this, because the reality is you did this. And when Allah charges yaqzifu, when Allah pelts you, when Allah charges you with something, he doesn't do it with falsehood. He does it with truth. You're indicted by the truth. MashaAllah. And Allah is never unjust to any of his creatures. And it also means to shoot. And it also, dirt is also in it. We already talked about the mud-slinging side. But we're also, again, reminding that this is a pair. There's a duality. There's a polarity. There's a duality in the term itself. It has meaning that is, quote-unquote, negative, meaning that it is an indictment of the false, let's put it like this. And it is also positive in that it is an expression of what happens through the truth. Same word. So this dirt, right? See if you can dig up some dirt on so-and-so, right? So the dirt and the yaqsifu, so, and mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, Prophet Muhammad, when we gave the report of when he was escaping from those who would assassinate him, when he was first faced with them as he left his home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to pick up some dirt and throw the dirt in their face. And when he threw the dirt in their face, took away their perception, took away their vision. They were blind. So that, and there are other places in the Quran where God says, when you threw, it was not you that threw, it was we that threw. And this is also where the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become so close by Allah's will that Allah says he becomes the eye with which they see, the ear with which they hear, the feet upon which they walk, the hand with which they strike. So when Allah says, it wasn't you that did it, it's we that did it, that power came to and through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, having the effects of blinding his enemy. And by that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his servant. So yes, so that idea of that dirt is a part of it. But as we proceed also to understand where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 100th verse of the 10th chapter of the Quran, where it says that none can believe except by the will of Allah, and he will send uncleanness on those who fail to use their brains, right? And when you say use their brains, you got to go all the way back to the obedient intellect. There are a lot of people using their brains, but they're not using it for the real purpose. And that's when we get to more of this yaqsifu and how it relates to other matters that al-Islam and the Quran bring us. So the idea is that the rijsa, which is, as is identified in that verse, the uncleanness for those who don't use their brain, and we're going to say obediently, as in obedience to Allah, Allah will send uncleanness on them, right? So all of this is in the term. This is what creates the semantic field, the web of meaning for this term, yakhzifu. So, and they provide the frame that we can take to other places in the Quran and take to other reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see, insha'Allah, bi'iznillah, with the guidance and the help of Allah, the truth that's in those matters as relates to what the frame is seeking to show us. And so, when Allah does all of these things, Allah does all of these things with al-haq, with the truth. Yet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does these things, for example, in the verse, or particularly in the verse, it says, Allah projects what you perceive with the truth. Right? Second, because Allah projects what you perceive. And we were working with the grammar and working with the i'rab, if you will, of the verse. Then they, whatever's in the accusative or whatever is serving as the object and the subject, etc., all that can be pulled out real easy if you know. But the other side of it is that in the English reading, it leaves open an opportunity to understand and to make the distinction where it says what you perceive, okay? So there's what you perceive. Okay, then how do you perceive it? What are you perceiving it with? It says what you see, what you perceive of what's in front of you, what you experience, when you see that with truth, meaning I'm looking at the universe. Question, what are you looking with? And there, and here is an operative saying that is, quote unquote, truth. You see what you look with. You see what you look with. Let me speak as a husband, and I know there are many other husbands in this case, because the wives, and I know the wives, they also know. Man go through the house and he said, "Where my brush at? Where my brush at?" Right? Yeah, like his wife, she's responsible to know where everything is at all times, and so therefore he said, "Where my brush at?" So like yeah, yeah, hey. My brush ain't where it's supposed to be, and it's your fault. So where my brush at, right? Then she go right to the room that he just came out of, and the chest of drawers that he just walked past. There it is, right there. So sometimes the man is in some kind of mood or whatever, so now he's blinded by he has eyes with which he cannot see. And so now he's being moved by that. He's been blinded by his expectations. And so he doesn't expect to see it where it usually is. And it's that expectation that blinded him, but that made it a reality. What a reality. For him, it was a reality that it wasn't there. That's why he had to go and say, "Where my brush at?" But it was always there. But he couldn't see it, even though he had eyes, even though he's in an environment. No doubt he probably put his eyes on them, but he was blinded by what he was looking with. He was looking with an attitude that it ain't there, and that attitude blinded him. So listen, so it says, the Lord projects, it said, my Lord projects what you perceive with truth. So it's like, so it was false that it wasn't there. It was false that it wasn't there. Why was it false that it wasn't there? Because it was there. But his perception was false. So what was he operating on? He was operating on a false perception. Even though what was really there, it was really there. But what caused him not to see it? False perception. Perception blinded him to reality. All right, so look at the sentence now. My Lord projects what you perceive with the truth. So it's like whatever you see and whenever you see, whatever you see, and whenever you see, truly, When you see through the truth, that's what God is showing you. So what you perceive that is true, that's what God is showing you. Since what Allah projects is the truth, and now you're trying to see what Allah projected, if you don't see what Allah projected, because everything that He projects is the truth. But if you can't see what Allah projects, that means that you're not seeing the truth. But it's not because the truth is not there. It's because there's something blocking your ability to see, because Allah only projects the truth. Allah doesn't project falsehood. So when you take that sentence just literally, it said Allah projects what you see with the truth. So God is saying, whatever you're seeing, quote unquote real, I'm setting aside the illusion, who put that projection out there? Allah. And what is it made of? The truth. If you see it, and you see the truth of it, then you're seeing what Allah has projected. So God is saying, that's what I do. I project with the truth. Now, if you can't see it, see, that's another issue. It's not because it's not there, not because it's not real. It's because you don't yet have the eyes to be able to see the truth that projects what's out there. Okay. And then, and the rest of that verse, 48:34, he says, and beyond that, He knows fully all that lies beyond the range of human perception. So then that means then, even those who are seeing the projected reality, that's a part of what the definition of ad-dunya, right? When we learn about the seven heavens, the Isra wa Mi'raj, the seven heavens, that all of these higher levels that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to, what we are seeing in this universe that we live in is only the first heaven. All of it. All of it. And we don't even see all of that. We don't even see all of the first domain of the tabaka and tabaka, the different layers that the creation of God, the creation of Allah, this, the skies and the earth that we're seeing right now, that's for our human situation. The whole universe, that's for our human situation. And we don't even see all of that. So in terms of Allah saying, so it's like, and not only that, there's so much that lies beyond the realm of what you can perceive and correctly. So you bundle in all of the most honest, sincere, pure-hearted seers who see what they see, they still don't see all of it. And Allah sees and has created what is beyond human perception. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So yet what Allah casts will be cause for an illusion. An illusion for those whose hearts aren't right towards Allah. So this universe and all that I've described, even it, in the presence of people with ears and eyes, it will be an illusion. Like that man running through the house asking, where's my brush? People living on the planet, rich, wealthy, high IQ, powerful, etc., living an illusion. Living in an illusion. And they have the power, and they have people whose job it is to extend that illusion. Make them all see it this way. Make them all think that this is the reality. Deceive them, delude them, so that I can have power over them. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So those who have the wrong heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are living an illusion. Allahu Akbar. Do not buy into anybody's illusions, delusions. That's what we saw Wednesday, January 6th. You saw a group of people who have bought into somebody's delusion. And that delusion has become their reality. I won't go further right now on that. So, the 14th chapter and the 4th verse of the Quran, a portion of it says, and this is the verse that speaks to, never does Allah send a messenger to a people but speaking the language of the people to whom they're sent. That's 14:4. The last part of that verse, an expression of it is, now Allah leaves straying those whom He pleases and guides whom He pleases. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Brother and sister, do you understand that just because you have eyes, it don't mean that to see is guaranteed? Just because you have ears, doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to hear? You understand? Just because you have the organs of, it doesn't mean that everything that you experience is the truth and reality. The nature of this creation itself is such that there are scientists who say, and I understand, I'm not going to try to detail it at this moment, is that their language is nature has favored in our evolution. Nature has favored us not seeing the reality. That's their language. Not seeing the reality. Now, he's speaking as a scientist. What he means is, I mean, it's like, you know, when people say something just to kind of, you know, in the cyberspace, social media type level, they call it clickbait, right? So it's kind of a clickbait statement that nature has favored us not seeing reality. All right, that's good. But now you got to say, okay, now tell me what you mean. What he's saying is that those creatures that survive, including you and I, human beings, and those long-lived species of lower life forms, why are they still here? Why is there still the extension of whatever? You got lizard brain, reptilian brain, this is their language, you know, the animal brain or what have you. It's like, so you got all these creatures that have survived so many hundreds and thousands of years. How do they survive? They survive by understanding, all I need to know is enough to survive. Whatever that is, that's all I need. I don't need the details, right? Because by the time I reach out and try to get the details of everything, I'm somebody's lunch. I'm talking about the creature. I'm somebody's lunch. It's like, I don't need to be, what is that? How many legs does it have? How many feathers? How many, no. Is it a threat or is it a benefit? And I need to know that quick. Because if I don't know that quick, I'm done. That's the end of my DNA. That's it. Party's over. So what does nature, as they call it, natural selection, what does nature favor? Nature favors whoever can get the quick answer sufficient enough to survive, then you live to analyze what you just survived. But if you spend a lot of time analyzing what's happening, waiting for details to come in before you make a move, too late. And so how many of these creatures snatch their lunch, breakfast, dinner real fast? Human beings, same way. A human being at the state of nature with another human being, and that's, we've all evolved from that place. Human being trying to get you, well, you better know how to read and read fast and without the details. So the point is that reality is details. The universe is details. It's details. And the scientists are the ones that ultimately give us some of those details. But the common person doesn't get those details. And the common person doesn't need those details in order to live, in order to survive, in order to grow. But in order for civilization to advance, you need the details. All right? So the idea is that those individuals who the creation, pardon me, the truth that's behind everything, it's detailed. It's detailed. And Allah is the one that reveals the details. So the nature of creation, it can look like chaos, for loss of a better expression. It looks like there is no order to it. But there is, as we know, as evolution, quote unquote, in mind and everything, has shown us, yeah, it's ordered. But everybody who looks at it doesn't see the order, right? Everybody who looks at it can't see the order. And I want to bring this to a close right now, is that in the nature of life, there are paradoxes, things that are hard to clarify, things that are hard to separate, things that are hard to discern, things that are hard to understand, and that's in that background of truth is like that. But unless you have the mind, the heart, the spirit to be guided to the truth of what seems to be chaotic, what seems to be disordered, what seems to be confusing, and indeed may very well be confusing to some, unless you have the heart, the mind, the spirit, the will to be open to Allah showing it to you, to Allah making it clear for you, to Allah removing the chaos for you. Unless you're open to that, then this life is going to be just that. It's going to be confusing. It's going to be overwhelming. It's going to feel oppressive because you have not been the vision to be able, in the midst of the conflict, in the midst of the chaos, in the facing of a paradox, you don't know, what should I do? How should I be? How should I act? What's the right way to understand this? If you understand the magnitude of what's being asked, then you say, you have to give it over to Allah. You have to, oh Allah, guide me. We say that in every prayer. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Allah, I need your guidance. Too complicated, too confusing, too chaotic, too paradoxical. You help me. You show me. You guide me. And this is what the verse, the last part of it is saying. It's saying, Allah leaves straying whom he pleases, and he guides whom he pleases. Do you need guidance? Well, who's going to give you the guidance? The Quran says there is no guidance except Allah's guidance. And you want to know why so many people are confused? They're confused because they're not turning to God for guidance. But if you don't turn to God for guidance, Allah leaves you with what you've chosen. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم So Allah does all of these things this يقصب He does all these things بالحق بالحق. Yet what Allah casts will be the cause for an illusion for those whose heart aren't right towards Allah. That is God. Doesn't mean all non-Muslims, just towards God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of reality. And such people are those who seek to make a lie out of the truth. We're going to conclude just underscoring this point. A set of verses that, let's call it waiting in the wings, is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that falsehood neither originates or reproduces. It doesn't originate anything and it doesn't restore. It doesn't. Falsehood. But falsehood is something that in our realm, there is a such thing as falsehood. You know, it's not like there's only truth. Falsehood is a part of the existential equation for human beings. And some people subscribe to the power of falsehood. Falsehood has power. Understand, in this world, in what I mean this world, this in civilizational terms, just like, you know, Nimrod and Abraham and Pharaoh and Moses, is like falsehood. They have falsehood, and they use that power of falsehood to maintain their power. And this is why when the truth comes, it dispels falsehood, right? Falsehood is like darkness, metaphorically speaking, because Allah created the darkness and the light, but in social and human terms, the darkness is dispelled by the light. When it said, you know, when light comes, that darkness is gone, right? All right. So, there, but darkness has power, and there are those that operate best in the dark. You know, think about creatures. How many creatures need the dark? And under the cover of darkness, that's how they prey on their, not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y. There's a connection. They prey on their breakfast, lunch, and dinner by having a broad swath in the time of darkness. And so if it's not dark enough, they will work to make it darker because they can do their work best in the dark. So it is with falsehood. Falsehood and lies are a weapon. Falsehood and lies are a strategy. I heard a commentator in this past week at all of its events. It says that current president, the days are counting down, current president has made a market out of lies. Has made a market out of lies. I want you to understand this. And may Allah guide us all to the best understanding. I'll just give you a narrative so you can understand it. Okay, I got to use it. You know, there was a time when we didn't have, quote-unquote, the rap music, right? Okay, so we got it. Y'all, I mean, y'all's going to be mad at me. You just got to be mad. I'm just telling you the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts. It is what it is. So the point is, you know, when the West Coast rap, blah, blah, you know, yeah, I'm talking N.W.A. and all that, you know. When that was a whole different genre, but that wasn't what was being talked about. I mean, look, before that, you know, you had things like, who was it, Boys to Men, whoever. You could be Jackson 5, the New Edition. I'm just going back. When harmony, coordination, all those kinds of things were, that was the thing. So there was no market for another genre, okay? And so then, here comes something else, right? And it just busts on the scene. And what did it do? It created a market. That's all I want to point to. It created a market that wasn't there before. So now you have a situation where it says that a president of the United States has created a market for lies. So if you want to make political hay, and if you want to build some political capital, if you want to get a crazy team of people to do your bidding, then you're going to have to learn how to master lies. You have to learn how to master lies, because lies is what works in the way we want to operate with such people. All right? So a market of lies is created, right? So you have Pharaoh and his magician. That was their business. Their business was casting illusions, making you think something is real that is not real, blowing your mind so that you could be bedazzled and put to work for the one who employs the snake thrower. MashaAllah, that's the world that we're in, brother and sister. Miss it at your own peril. So all these are people who seek to make a lie out of the truth. So the point is that you can lie to me, and you can put your lies out there. So you're putting the lies out there, that's your attempt to create a kind of darkness that you can hide under its cover, and you can deceive long enough to get what you want, and then when people find out it's the truth, hopefully, quote unquote, speaking from a criminal mindset, by the time they figure out, deal is done. Deal is done. You know, there are certain agencies that are believed to be government agencies. They are not government agencies, but they came into existence under the cover of darkness. Yeah, of course, there's some people know what I say, but I don't want to use too much language to focus on that. It happened in December for the turn of the 20th century, and it still got its hands in our pockets. In any case, so the point is that there are people who are in the business of deceiving the perceptions of the people. That's their business. Our business is how well can, you know, you have illusionists. You know, we call them magicians, but you have illusionists. Their show is, watch it, will make the Statue of Liberty disappear. Well, I'm gonna make this Boeing 747 disappear. I'm gonna make this elephant disappear. And if you don't understand the science behind how they create that illusion, you just go away mind blown. It's like, oh, did you see that? But when somebody reveals to you the secret, i.e. the science behind how they cast that illusion, you can't be deceived like that anymore forever. I'm telling you. What I just said right now, like, you know, the Statue of Liberty, the elephants, and the airplane. Yeah, that's been done. That's what a David Copperfield kind of thing, right? But it was because of what they knew about the human beings in the audience that the human beings in the audience didn't know about themselves, right? And you go online and you'll find magic tricks that I bet you I can tell you which card you picked. And you look at that thing, I'm telling you, I got to admit, when I first saw that, I said, man, what the hell? How's that possible? And I spent more than an hour for sure trying to figure out how could that be possible. But the answer was very, very simple. And so that's the point. The point is that the only way for a person to deceive you is based on what you don't know about what they're doing. Whatever you don't know about what they're doing, they can keep you under that deception until you don't know. And that goes back to my search for what's the true meaning of Rumpelstiltskin. But that's a part of the answer. A part of the answer is, you know, Rumpelstiltskin was able to do what he was able to do as long as you don't know his name. But once you know his name, then jig is up, right? So that means once you understand the nature of how you're being deceived and how the illusion is created, once you do that, there's just no way. Once somebody shows you an illusion, shows you a perception, and then they decode it for you, you can never look at it the same way again. You can never be deceived by it. So understand, their mission is we have to be masters of illusion. And we have to be masters, and we have to have people to perpetuate our illusion. And we have to watch out for anybody who's breaking our illusions, because to break our illusions is to break our power. And what breaks the illusion? The truth. The truth. So we have to be in the business of knowing, seeking, and understanding, and living the truth. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. O Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. O Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We know that there is no God but you, and we know that what we see truly, we see it because you cast reality with the truth and as the truth. O Allah, bless us not to be among those who have eyes but cannot see. Bless us not to be among those who have ears but cannot hear. O Allah, bless our hearts to be purified, desiring to see reality as you would have us see it. O Allah, bless us not to be marketers of falsehood. Bless us not to be sellers of illusion. Bless us not to be buyers of deception. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold this but you. We pray your prayers, your peace, your blessing, your mercy be upon Muhammad. And we pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you'll guide us nearer to the path even in this. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. الحمد لله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Couple of announcements. Always the sadaqah and zakat, alhamdulillah, still needed. Religion has not changed, mashallah. Your contributions and the responsibility of zakat continues. The Zoom Arabic class from 9 to 11 a.m. continues with Sheikh Abdul Rauf. Also, the Anas Children's Program for children ages 6 to 13 years old, twice weekly. That is it. I need somebody to text me on the days. Text me the days of when those classes are, so that can be known. And it's $25 per student and $40 per family. That's a monthly. Also, the ANAS Youth Business Loan Program for ages 9 to 18 years old. You can apply for those business loans to start building business. And we're also seeking loan sponsors. You can contact Dr. Shuey Peters for more information. You can reach her at mshspeters@gmail.com, and donations can be given also through Meshidwa theme. Also, anniversary congrats to Ira and Georgetta Bia for 44 years, and mashallah, mashallah, she'll understand. Time and obligations hadn't given me an opportunity to reach out to her personally, but I'm pretty sure she's online as well. She had a son pass from this life recently. We say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah forgive his shortcomings and grant him paradise. Our sympathies to the family. And of course, I'll be calling them very shortly. Also, birthdays. We have Noah May Nuruddin Green. All right, having a birthday, January 18th, Martin Luther King birthday as well. Alhamdulillah, no wonder he's so great. Oh, this so great, wonderful time. Also, the men's group barbecue is exclusively for men. I was told when I came in to do my women won't be turned away, but the main object is for men. And the object is also a recruitment for the men of Meshidwa Theme, formerly, and those who are not formerly corporate members of Meshidwa Theme, but they identify, whoever identifies in the leadership of Meshidwa Theme and support it, then it's for you, and we want to see you. Want you to come be a part of that. So that's January 30th. Sorry, I don't have a time here, but you know how barbecues go. Get here any time after 9, you'll probably be good. So that's January 30th. Also, a new platform coming for clearunderstanding.institute. That'll be coming in February, inshallah. Also, we want to keep Brother Langston. He was my lieutenant in the FOI, and it's the brother of Sheikh Abdul Rauf. He suffered a stroke last week, and we want to keep him in our dua as well. So, alhamdulillah, thank you. May Allah guide us, forgive us our shortcomings and errors. Wa alaykum as-salam.
وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط والمستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في ضلال وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بجرة من سجيل فجعلهم كأسف مأكول. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. ربنا ولك الحمد. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط والمستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لإلاف قريش ألافهم رحلة شتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا ولك الحمد.
الله أكبر.
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 السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله تقبل الله.
نعم شكرا.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.